Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, it was amazing because the response out there in Fredonia has been just out of this world awesome. Praise God. The leaders, you know, especially they know how to respond because they know how to do things according to the word, you know. And one of the news agencies was asking Pastor Michael, and this is funny because they actually cut this part out. You got to love it. But they actually asked Pastor Michael, they're like, aren't you, like, you're the pastor of the church, you must be devastated. And he's like, oh, you know, I can't remember exactly what he said, but basically it was with a big smile on his face, oh, not at all, praise the Lord. Because, you know, when the devil starts turning up the heat, we have a choice to respond, and most people respond wrong. Well, I'm going to tell you something, we can watch the world and see how they respond, and we know that the world's responding wrong, so we just got to respond differently. So when if you have a fire or something like that or something disastrous that happens in your life and you think about how you want going to respond, just take a second and think about how the world responds and however they would respond, you just respond differently, praise the Lord. So you don't even have to know the Bible that well. You just got to know to do different than what the world does, amen? Praise the Lord. But you know, when the response is right, it's pleasing to the Father, and then God can move on our behalf. And see, this is what we understand, that trials are going to come in our lives, but it doesn't matter that trials come at all, because they're going to come. It's not about whether trials are come, they're going to come. I said it's not about whether trials come, they're going to come, amen? But see, Jesus has given us a way out of it. Jesus has given us a way to go over it, praise the Lord, to conquer it, if we decide to respond right, amen? And so we're going to be people who respond right. I'm going to be a pastor who responds what right, praise the Lord. We're going to be a church that responds right, amen? Praise the Lord. My pocket, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God, I was glad it wasn't my zipper, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Pocket and zipper, when your wife is mouthing it to you from the front row, looks pretty much the same, hallelujah. Glory to God. Like the, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'll just have to preach like this today, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's a good thing we built it out of pine and not oak, right? Praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Well, we got a service, a sermon today we got to get into. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what's amazing is when the Lord gave me this sermon, I wasn't planning on there being a fire in Fredonia. Amen. So I didn't, not that there's, I don't think there's any Fredonia people here, but it doesn't matter. I wasn't expecting that we were going to be talking about overcoming or anything like that the standpoint of actually having to overcome something. Amen. But today's message is called The Way to Overcome. The Lord gave this to me earlier in the week, and I'm just so thankful for it. Praise the Lord. And I believe that this is going to help us today. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you'll believe it too, I'm sure you'll get help. Because even if you don't need overcoming today, you're going to need overcoming at some point. Yes. Amen? And you know, the awesome thing about the word, it tells us that God has made us overcomers. He has made us to be some people that overcome. Amen? We are not supposed to be broken and defeated. And Christians that live that way do not live in the fullness of what God has for them. And we're not going to be people that live like that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, why don't you turn with me to John 16. And we're going to start, we're going to read verse 33. Praise the Lord. John 16:33. These are the words of Jesus. Praise the Lord. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Praise God. You have to realize that trial is coming. You have to know that. Praise the Lord. When you were in the world, before you became a Christian, before you received Jesus, there was trial coming. All the time, right? There was things that happened. When you come to church, you receive Jesus, and you start walking this walk of faith, praise the Lord. You find God, and you start going after the things of God because you see that it's right. Praise God, hallelujah. When you get on that path, guess what? Trial is still coming. But there's a difference now, and this is what I love. This is what I love that I've learned in life, because my life was defined by trial, amen. Unconquerable trial. It was trial that I would always get into. Sometimes my own fault, sometimes not. But it was trial nonetheless. But see, the glorious thing about what God has done is He has given us a way to always overcome. Always overcome. He has never expected us to be defeated, to ever lay down our authority, to ever lay down our stance with him, praise the Lord. But it's always our decision. And we decide every single time there's a trial whether or not we're going to the other side of it or not. Amen. We decide this, praise the Lord. It's not God's decision. God already gave us everything, every weapon in our arsenal to know that we could possibly make it. But it's all, first it comes down to whether or not a Christian is going to believe and do the word, praise the Lord, and then whether or not they're going to trust God. See, he says right here, he's talking about trust right here. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. See, Jesus said, listen, there's stuff coming in the world, but wherever your focus is going to be is going to determine whether or not you will have peace or not. You can have peace, but it's only going to be in Jesus. It's not going to be anywhere else. You know, people come to me. I've had people come to me early on. I remember sitting in here with a couple early on. They don't come to the church anymore, but they came in and they wanted help. And they heard the message and they received the message. They received salvation and they're all gung ho about about getting help and fixing the relationship and stuff. And so I sat them down and I started talking to them what a godly relationship means. And sometimes there's things that you have to give up and there's things that you've got to do, but this is the way to do it. And they started looking at me kind of cross and not liking what I was saying. And I started realizing right away that there wasn't going to be much help had for them, because what they didn't want was this. And see, if you reject the word, if you don't want what the word has for you, then you're not going to have the help. You'll never have the help you're going to need. And then a lot of people come in for counseling sessions, and they expect that a pastor is going to counsel like a counselor from the world will counsel. And in a lot of ways, a lot of pastors today do just that. That's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to direct people always to the truth. As I bring people to the truth, as I show them the truth and teach them what the word says for their situation, then they become overcomers. This is the only way I know. Don't come to me looking for another way, because I don't know another way. I know this way, praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying I know this. I'm like some great Bible scholar or something like that. But I've given enough to be able to survive, praise the Lord, and do pretty good on top of that. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I believe that the Lord has put me in this position to be able to help other people get there as well. Amen? Praise the Lord. These things that I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Where are we going to have the peace? In Jesus. Hallelujah. In what he did, amen, in the truth of his word, praise the Lord. In the world, you will have. As long as you're in the world, people pray to God. They're like, Lord, just take this trial away from me. A lot of times, if God were going to do that, he'd have to take you home. He'd have to escort you out of here. Because in the world, you're going to always have trial. It's always there. Has anybody found that in the world, you can always find trial? Can you always find trouble in the world? It wouldn't take me very long to walk out these doors right now, go out there, and in this small town of 1,600 people, find some trouble. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I can do it. Amen. I know I can do it because I've done it before. Amen. I used to come through this town causing some trouble. Hallelujah. And finding some trial, because the trouble always led to the trial. Amen. The trouble I caused. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is unavoidable. But isn't that your experience anyways? I mean, how many times in life do we say, I mean, if you had probably a dollar for every time you heard somebody say it's just not fair. It's just not fair. Yeah, sometimes things aren't fair. Yeah. There's nothing in here that says this world is going to operate fairly. Right. Why? Because this world does not operate according to the principles of the word. Yeah. If it did, then this world would be fair. Yeah. If every human on this earth did their best to live according to what this word says, oh, it'd be a fair earth. It'd be a fair world. Everybody get their share. Everybody would have their part. Hallelujah. Everybody would be blessed. Nobody would go without. Right. But see, this world doesn't operate according to these principles. And you can't expect it to, because this world is not controlled by God. This world is controlled by the devil. And we know that because the word says. So many times in the New Testament, the Bible talks about the ruler of this world. Praise the Lord. And it's always referring to Satan. It's not referring to God. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. See, God has warned us. He said there's trials coming. You know, the fact that he said that there's trials coming should not surprise us when trials come. And yet people always act surprised when there's trial. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. I mean, I was a little shocked when I heard that the church was on fire. A little bit shocked. Amen. But when I got to thinking about it, I wasn't totally surprised. Because fires happen. You know what I mean? They don't have fire departments because fires don't happen. Right? And the fires, they're not being choosy, right? They'll burn anything, they'll let them burn, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. But see, that's exactly, this is a perfect example of what we're talking about. There will be some kind of fire in your life. I'm not talking about your house is going to burn down. Just, you're going to go home and say, oh, I don't know, Pastor Jeff said my house is going to burn down. That's not what I'm talking about. There's going to be some kind of fire to put out in your life today, this week, next week. Praise the Lord. But the response is all that matters. How you deal with that. And sometimes the fire burns for a little bit. Sometimes you have a month-long fire. Sometimes you have a year-long fire. I've known people that have had years of fire. But see, the Lord always gives us a way to get beyond it. And if we respond right, we'll stay in peace. If we respond according to the word, we'll always, even in the midst of the fire, praise the Lord. I think about, was it Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Praise the Lord. My shack, your shack, and a Winnebago. Praise the Lord. I think it's something like that. But in my shack, I can't say it now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, when they were told they were in that evil, they were in the most evil government probably ever existed, in Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar, praise the Lord, and they were told that they had to worship him, right? They said, if you don't worship him, if you don't worship his golden whatever, then you are going to be put to death. And they refuse. And so they were brought before the king. And the king says, why are you refusing? He said, because we worship our God, not you or any other God, basically. I'm giving you the Jeff Michener paraphrase version. Praise the Lord. And so he said, throw him into the fiery furnace. So they stoked up this furnace super, super hot, made it really hot, so much so that when they threw the guys in there, the fire leapt out. Some of the fire leapt out, and it burned the guards, killed the guards that were throwing them in. So they throw them in the midst of it. You know, the account goes that after they were in there, they saw them in there, and they weren't being burnt. But they saw them walking around with somebody in there, somebody who didn't get thrown in there with them. Amen? And then they came out of the fire. And they said that not even a hair on their head was singed. Yeah. And not only was not a hair of their head singed, but they didn't even smell like smoke. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Hallelujah. Because you don't have to get close enough to a fire to smell like smoke. You do have to be singed, but they're in the midst of it. And they didn't have the smell of smoke on them, praise the Lord. You know why? Because they responded right. Because when they were pushed up against the wall, I said, I'm serving my God. I'm just going to point my eyes and my ears, my nose towards the Lord. That's where I'm going. This is the direction I'm going to be in. Praise the Lord. And because I know he'll overcome. Amen. That's the type of God, right? Praise the Lord. Well, the type of God we serve. Praise God. Hallelujah. There are two types of trial. There are self-inflicted, and there are Satan-inflicted. Now, I don't know if there may be other types of trial, but I'm, for the purposes of today, I'm breaking it down into two types of trial. There's trials that you self-inflict, and there's trials that you don't self-inflict that just happen to you that come out of the blue. Amen? Praise the Lord. Most people are dealing with self-inflicted trials. Praise God. Most people are dealing with self-inflicted trials. Most people never need to get to the point to let Satan tempt them because they just automatically do it. It's just the way it is. Most people today, they are happy to go the way of the devil. How do we know that? Well, because we watch Christians all the time do things that they shouldn't do, they're not supposed to do, and they just walk into it just like it's easy. Amen? Because it is easy for them. Because people, most of the time, they don't even need Satan to tempt them because their hearts are already turned in the wrong direction. Self-inflicted trials need repentance. Satan-inflicted trials need faith. There's a difference. And so it's important when you're going through a trial to figure out what kind of trial it is, first of all. Is this self-inflicted or is it Satan-inflicted? Now, if it's self-inflicted, the Bible's given us a way out, and that's called repentance, praise the Lord. What do? We go before the Lord. Say, Lord, I recognize that I was wrong in this area, that I was off in this area. Repentance means to recognize it and then turn and change and don't go back and do the same thing over again. That's what true repentance is. True repentance is not saying I'm sorry. So many people have gotten used to just saying I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you, sorry doesn't matter if you keep doing something. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you're not sorry, don't say it, you're just lying. Now you're not just doing something wrong, but now you're also a liar on top of it. Well, praise the Lord, it's the truth. We don't want to do that, amen? So what we do is, the best way we can say sorry, generally, is by changing what we do. I mean, praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God. Most people are dealing with self-inflicted trials. They are the ones that need repentance. Satan-inflicted trials, on the other hand, need faith. And so, see, no matter what kind of trial we're going through, we have a way out of it. This is what's so awesome about our God. If we're stupid enough to fall into sin, which a lot of times we are, but if we're stupid enough to fall into sin, God's given us a way out. Amen? Now, if we got a little bit smart and we weren't stupid enough, we were like, oh, we're going to be smart enough. We're not going to fall into the sin. And so we stay out of sin, and all of a sudden trial comes up. God's given us a way out of it. You see, God's given us a way out no matter which way we go. No matter which way it comes, no matter how heavy it feels, no matter how bad it is, God's given us a way out. Praise the Lord. But it does not necessarily mean that it's all going to change overnight. And we have to be okay with that. We have to have a little bit of wherewithal. Amen? We can't constantly be people that are just a bunch of lilies. You know, the wind blows wrong for a second, and all of a sudden. You know, I was reading a thing this morning on the news. And it was this guy did this one thing that was offensive to other people, but it shouldn't have been offensive to other people because the reason it was offensive to the other people is because of how he used a person, but the person wanted to be used that way. Praise the Lord. I don't want to get into the details because, well, maybe I should. I don't know. Yeah, I'll just get into the details. So the guy had a food truck, right? The guy has this food truck, and he has this friend who is what is the proper terminology, a little person. Praise the Lord, okay? They're really good friends. They were sitting together, and they're having a few beers, which I don't suggest doing, amen. I mean, sit together with little people, but don't have beers with them, amen. Praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? But so they're sitting together, and they're scheming of ideas, of ways to try to increase business at the food truck. She's writing that down for the notable quotes. It comes out at the pastoral breakfast or lunch, hallelujah, once a year, amen. Praise the Lord. So at any rate, they're buddies and they're talking and they're like, hey, let's have you dress up in a leprechaun uniform and carry a sign and say, mention the, they literally had the sign that said, mention the midget and you get a burger. But it was his idea. He was okay with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? But like, there's whole groups of people out there that are like up in arms because they devised this idea and it benefited the business. Both were happy. He was getting paid. Even the little person, I don't know his name, but he was like, this was absolutely fine. It was my idea. This is good. But people get so upset by things. They get so, because you, who cares? Who really cares that the guy, like, listen, if you can exploit yourself in a way that's not sinning, and you can make money doing so, why not do it? I mean, if you don't mind, do you understand what I'm saying? This could go bad really quickly. So just bear with me. You know, you remember, I'm not the politically correct preacher, hallelujah. But I'm just saying, if you can, you know, if you find something that you can, if you can use, I mean, like, I try to make money off my good looks all the time. I haven't made much yet. I don't know what the problem is, but praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you understand? There's like people that get so bent out of shape over little things. Yeah. This nation has gotten to this place where we're gonna, what? little things. Let's see. That's all you being bad. No, that's not me. Yeah. I'll just say this for the sake of the recording. Caleb, don't edit this out. I'll just say this for the sake of the recording. These other nasty people came up with this. Crazy. Yeah. They're all devised. Well, anyways, people get so upset over little things that don't matter, just things that have no bearing. I mean, like, seriously, remember, we had this saying back when I was a kid. It was called, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. What happened with teaching kids like this stuff like that? You know, like somebody calls you a name, who cares? You call them a name. Somebody says something bad about your mama, you say something bad about their mom, it's all over. That's all there is to it. You know what I'm talking about? Like, now people say something bad, and you got to have crying rooms. Crying rooms. We got to have closets where people can go and coddle their feelings. I'll teach you how to coddle your feelings. Hallelujah. It's called a baseball bat. Praise the whack. Praise the Lord. I'll coddle some feelings. Glory to God. That's bad? I can't say that. Okay. Praise the Lord. Let the record show my wife said I can't say that. Hallelujah. Caleb, that part you can edit out. No, don't. Just it'll be in there for you. Praise the Lord. Where were we? But we're talking, you know, people get so bent over little things. But see, if you're gonna be a person who is moved by little things, you'll never walk in the victory of God. Because this world is going to have enough things for you to walk into that'll get you snared. You know, sometimes the self-inflicted things aren't even, we didn't do it on purpose. Sometimes you just didn't know, and so you tried something and it didn't work, and now you're kind of in a situation. So you know what you do? You just get out of it. You rejoice. You get in the plan of God. You just seek the Lord. Say, Lord, I repent. I was wrong. We did this once. We bought a vehicle that was 5,000 miles later, the engine blew up. Well, how many people know that doesn't go so well when you don't have much money? Amen. Well, now we're paying for a vehicle that we don't have because insurance don't cover bad engines. Amen. But what we did was we just stayed in faith about it. God got us out of it. He got us through it. And it was over the course of time that it happened, but it all got cleared up in the course of time. Praise the Lord. We never went without because we trusted in God. We need to be people who trust in God. Amen. That's where the peace is. See, when you trust in God, that's what he means, that his peace will be with you then. It's because when you trust Jesus, when you say, okay, I see in your word what you said to do, and I see how we can get beyond these things, and you said that you've never left me, you've never forsaken me, you'll always carry me through to the other side. So even if the trip is this long and there's storms in that trip, I know I'm going to the other side where it's good. But see, the reason that people freak out is because they don't believe the other side's good. If you're a person who always freaks out and every time something happens in your life, it's the end of the world, it's because you don't trust God yet. You don't trust that the other side's going to be good. You just believe you're going to have one trial after another, and that's the way you're always going to live. I was raised, when I was growing up and living, that's how we were raised. I don't mean just by my mom. I mean, like, that's how we were raised. My mom was raised that way. My mom's mom was raised that way. Praise the Lord. We were just family after generation, it was one thing after another. Well, you know, so-and-so had cancer, so I'll probably get it too. So-and-so got sick, so I'll probably get it too. You know, you got to watch this because this runs in the family. Praise the Lord. How about standing in faith saying, no, it ain't going to touch me? Praise the Lord. Because the Bible says you can do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now listen, I'll tell you this. The Bible is true. But even if it wasn't, I'd rather believe this than to believe the lies of the world. Do you know what I'm saying? This at least gives you hope. I mean, the Bible proves itself over and over. I'm not saying that because there's a chance that I think that the Bible's not true. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying that I would rather believe what the Lord said anyways than to continue believing the snarf that I always believed before and made me miserable. Amen? There's so much good stuff in here. There's so many wonderful things here. You know, people try to pick it apart all the time. We have society, politicians trying to pick it apart and saying, oh, well, it also says this and this and this. And you take it out of context, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, but other fools believe fools. And that's exactly what happens. If you believe bad things about the Bible, it's because you don't understand it. God isn't a God. God is not a genocidal God. Praise the Lord. When God came down against other nations, it was because they were going to destroy his people and ruin the only opportunity to bring his son into the world that would save all of humanity. Sometimes there has to be a sacrifice for the greater good. Sometimes there has to be. Praise God. That's just the way it is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we do sell something in this church. And I'm going to share it with you right now. His name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the sure way. He is the sure way. And by what I mean sell, this is what we're promoting. This is what we're always talking about. Jesus, his way is the sure way. It will always get us through to the other side. God's word is always true. It always works for those who want to work it. Amen? Praise God. And I believe that we have a group full of people here. Praise the Lord. You know, I'll just say this. I believe this wholeheartedly that this church right here, this is enough people right here to change the entire world. Praise the Lord. If you decide you want to go and you just jump on board because it doesn't matter if there's just 10 of you, 10 of us are going to change it. Amen. 10 of us are going to make a difference. I don't care if it's 5 of us. 5 of us are going to make a difference. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? He loves us so much that he gave us this word that constantly tells us the truth, constantly points us to the truth. And this is why we encourage people so much to stay in the word, stay in the church and stuff like this. It's not because we just want to have a big congregation, because one thing I've learned about churches over the years is congregations, they fluctuate in size. People come, people go. There's some that stay, some won't. It doesn't matter. My job, Pastor Nancy Dufresne said this, and I love this. She said, the job of a pastor is to be a bus driver. You just keep driving the bus. Some people get on, some people get off, but you just keep driving. Yeah. Amen? And that's exactly what we do, because as we point, some people will stay, and they'll get attached to the word, and they'll just be like, you know, this is so true. This has changed my life. Amen? You know what I love? You know, it's funny. It's kind of interesting, but a lot of people on the outside, They look at us as people that they don't really understand why we believe. And in most cases, I understand why they think that, because looking at most Christians or a lot of Christians, it's like, why do you even believe? You believe in somebody who's not that doesn't ever, you never see, you never hear, you never directs you, never comes, just somebody, some book, ancient book talks about. See, that's the way a lot of people look at God. They don't realize that we have a God that you interact with. They don't realize that you have a God who will actually come to you and will make his presence known to you, who will actually change things in life. But see, they believe that because a lot of Christians, they don't go out there and live changed lives. See, a lot of Christians go out, they come into the church, they get saved, they go out there and live the same way they did before. And then they may be saved, maybe. But then the whole thing comes down to the rest of the world looks at them and thinks it's a joke. You know, it's because people just don't live in the victory. I'm not even talking about bad stuff. I'm not even saying, like, I'm not even getting into giving. I'm not even getting into serving and stuff like that, all these important things. I'm just talking about, how about just living with joy? Yeah. I mean, is there anybody here that doesn't want joy in their life? Go ahead, raise your hand. Praise the Lord. There ain't nobody in here that doesn't want joy. Everybody wants joy. Everybody wants peace. Well, this tells you how to get it. It tells you how to get it. It says if you do this, you'll have joy. You'll have peace. You know what's funny? You give that to people and they'll be like, yeah. Yeah, I see that, but you know, enjoy. You know, I just don't know if I want to respond. Well, you don't want joy then. Yeah. I don't know if I want to respond. Well, you don't want peace then. If you don't want to respond to the word, if you don't want to read the word, if you don't want to get in there, you don't want what it says. Praise the Lord, glory to God. You know, God's given us so many promises about so many different things, and it's all in there. But it also tells us that if people don't get in there and connect with it, they won't have it. Let's walk out what God has for us. Let's be overcomers, amen? This is the way to overcome. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, we're going to read through verse 10. Praise the Lord. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, this is Paul speaking, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. All right. This is a really interesting section of scripture that a lot of people take out of context. Now, see, a lot of people try to say that, Paul's weakness, they try to say that this messenger of Satan, this thorn in the flesh that Paul was given, a lot of people try to say it was a sickness, but we can see in scripture real quickly that it wasn't. But a lot of religious people claim that. And we're gonna look at it and see how it's not. But we also have to understand something else about this particular section in scripture. This first part in verse 7 is very important. It says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. Okay? That is a very, 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 very important part of the scripture. The Apostle Paul was used like no other Christian was ever used. Right? He was used differently. He was used more powerfully. Jesus himself spent three or four years in the wilderness teaching him after he had went to heaven. So after Jesus died, went to heaven, he spent, I think it was 4 years in the wilderness, teaching Paul by revelation. Okay? Do you know anybody that spent 4 years with Jesus lately? I'm not talking, oh, Jesus lives on the inside of me, which is true, but I'm not talking about that kind of spend time with him. I'm talking, we're going to sit down now, and me and Jesus are going to have a conversation. He's going to teach me about all about God. Amen? You know anybody who spent 4 years straight with Jesus? No, I don't know either. By the abundance of revelations. So he's given an abundance of revelations. So because of this, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. It doesn't say a sickness, does it? It says a messenger of Satan. This is where so many people, because people will use these scriptures to try to say that God wants you sick, and it's absolute and utter foolishness. Yeah. It's absolute foolishness. That is not what he wasn't given a sickness here. There was a messenger that was sent to buffet him, lest I be exalted above measure. These are all important things to understand. Because, see, here's the thing. You can get high-minded pretty quickly when you start get revelations. When God starts moving in your life, you got to be careful about how much. You know, you see this all the time. Have you ever seen a brother or sister come into the faith and they get really excited right off the bat and they start just getting into things and they're like real zealous and they just love the Lord and they love the Word and they're reading like 24 hours a day and they're praying for another 30 hours a day. Glory to God. They're just in the Word and in prayer nonstop and they're getting all these great revelations. Hallelujah. And I mean, they've been a Christian all 3 months. Hallelujah. And they're out there and they're preaching at people and they're saying, and now they start picking at people and start like, oh, look what this person's doing. That ain't right. Look at how this person's sinning and that ain't right. And look what they're doing over here. You ever seen that? Come on now. Praise the Lord. If you've been in church for 3 minutes, you've seen that. Well, you know, that's not necessarily because a person has a bad heart, but you know, sometimes we can get self-exalted a little bit because we think we know something. Amen. If there's anything that pastoring has taught me is that I know less than I did then. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like to keep it that way because I don't want to be somebody who is selfish. I don't want to be walking around thinking that I'm a know-it-all or anything like that. Praise the Lord. Because it's not true. But see, this is what Paul was dealing with. So we see these things. It was a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. And he said, concerning, and this is also very important, verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, okay, now, God responds to him. And that's also important to understand because you can come fabricate things in your mind saying, well, I've been praying for this thing, so maybe God has this thing. No, if God ain't speaking to you about it and you don't know why you got it, probably isn't from God. Amen? Praise the Lord. And he said to me, but this is very important for us to understand because we can learn something from this right here. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Praise the Lord. Your church burns down. What are you going to do? His grace is sufficient for me. God will always be there for us because that's who my God is. I lost my house. I lost my job. What am I going to do? God's grace is sufficient for me. It will always get me through. See, you may see it as a weakness, which it is. If you suddenly have no income anymore, that's a weakness. But if all your hope is in that job, then that's your weakness. And it wasn't the job that was the weakness. It was where your hope was. See, this is what happens to people because they put their stock in things that come and go. You know, I was just reading an article recently about, y'all remember Robin Williams. Robin Williams is this great funny man that everybody knew and comic genius, and everybody thought, you know, even in the comedy world, they thought there's nobody better than this. I'm not advocating for Robin Williams. I'm just telling you how the world looked at him. And the man just did amazing financially. He would get jobs and he got the best jobs and he was making lots and lots of money and all this stuff. And then what happened? He ended up committing suicide. Of course, we know that story. The reasoning for it is more come out in latter years, but the reason for it is he was actually starting to suffer from a disease that was keeping him from being able to perform. And what happened to him is he started losing hope because that was all he had. See, all his eggs were in that basket. And I'm not talking bad about him because this happens all the time. I've been to this place. I've had a gun in my mouth before. I understand what it's like to be at that place of wanting to end your life. I understand how it feels to be there. You know what I mean? It was deception. It's deception, but I understand what it was like to be there. But he all his eggs were in that basket. See, he was never taught the Word. He was never given the Word. He was never given the truth of what God that gave him hope that said there's more than just this. See, but in his mind, they would talk about people that were around him at the time or closest to him would talk about the breakdowns, the mental breakdowns that he would have in front of them saying, I just can't be funny anymore. I just can't. It was all, his life was based on that. And so to him, when that was up, his life was worthless. You see, that was a person, and I was reading that, I was saddened because I'm just like, oh, what the truth would change in a person. Oh, just to get the truth to someone like that, what it would change. See, because if I had known the things that I knew now, I would have never done the things to myself that I'd done. I would have never, you know, when I was a teenager, I would cut myself because of the pain and stuff. I would have never done that if I had known the truth. You see, and it was because we didn't know the truth. You know, we didn't understand the truth. I mean, even we were raised to believe in God and believe in the Bible and believe in Jesus, Son of God, and all this stuff, but we didn't know truth of the word. We didn't know the fullness of what the word preached, and so it never affected us the way that God intended it to. But see, as soon as I got into the word and I found it, it did, and it changed my life. And it was getting to that place where you understand that it's God's grace that gets, that's sufficient for us. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's grace is sufficient to get us through every trial. And see, what that means is this is not a cop-out in the Bible's part or God's part. This is a really wonderful place to be. This is a place of peace that we can always get into, that no matter what storm is brewing in life, we can sit in that place and just say, you know what, God's grace is sufficient. When it says God's grace is sufficient, it doesn't mean it's just going to get you through. It means, no, this is where I can kick back and relax. This is why Jesus slept in the back of the boat when it was sinking, because his grace, God's grace was sufficient for him. It was more than enough for him. It carried him through. He knew it. And it's why the disciples weren't at the same place. You see, you can be around. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed when all hell breaks loose in someone's life? Have you ever noticed that everybody wants you to join in the scramble? Everybody else wants you to be just as upset as they are? I'll tell you, as a pastor, I learned this full well, because people come to you with their lives falling apart, and they want you to be just as freaked out as they are. I just point them to the Word and say, it'll be all right. Like, be calm, just like that. I mean, it does not have to be some major thing. I don't care what the situation is. You get a really bad diagnosis from the doctor? Was that bigger than God? Is that bigger than the name of Jesus? The Bible says we've been given the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus will do all things. Right? Praise the Lord. That's what we've been given, right? So what are we going to do? Are we going to lay down and just take the blows from the devil? Do we want to get in a crying group with everybody else? Do you want to be miserable like everybody else? Or do you want to have joy on your face? Praise the Lord. I'll tell you right now, I'll go all the way to my grave with joy on my face, because I don't want it any other way. And if you decide you don't want to, you know what's real funny about trials? There's a thing that happens in people. I used to be like a blithering example of this. Hallelujah. When you start going through trial, people like talking about the trial. They like sharing about like how bad things are and how hard this one is, or how big the trial is that you just can't get over. People love exalting the devil, because it's the flesh that does that. You understand? It's the flesh that does that. The flesh is always going to lean towards the things of the devil. If you spend more time talking about, listen, I may have trial in my life, and I'm not saying I always keep it to myself and don't say anything to anybody, but I certainly don't spend more time focusing on the trial than I do on the outcome. And that's where the balance is. Amen? Yeah, you may start going through something, and you may say to your prayer buddy or your brother or sister in the faith, you know, I'm going through this right now. But you know, when you start talking big about your God. But see, a lot of people, they're going to keep talking big about how bad things are. Like, listen, I can't help you if you're a person that always wants to be somebody who's just, this is how bad it is, and it's just, you know, this is the way it is, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I can't hear it, I won't hear it, I don't want to hear it. I am not going to do weekly counseling sessions with people. See, that's why I can't get away from this, because this is the truth. You're not saying, you know, there's been people in here I've recently counseled with. I'm not necessarily talking about you, so don't feel like I'm picking on you or anything like that. But what I want to say is, because this is kind of an epidemic in the church, is that people come into the church and they want pastor to meet with them, you know, twice a week or three times a week for an hour here, an hour here, to cover all these bases. You can sit there and talk about how bad. I don't want to talk about how bad things are. What's the solution? What's the issue? What's the solution? This is what the issue is. This is how we fix it. Let's do it. It doesn't have to be. It can be that quickly. Most counseling sessions can be taken care of, if people listen, in one service. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise God. That's the truth. Listen, I am not a person who is unaware of the counseling system. I saw psychologists. I saw psychiatrists. They had me doing all kinds of crazy things. I had one that had me coming in, tapping on my forehead and rubbing my eyebrows, and I ain't lying. I had people that sit there and like they want me to make friends with my weaknesses, and they want me to go out and do this, and they want me to go out and do this, and none of it. Listen, if you're a counselor, we have several counselors in here. I ain't making fun of you unless you do that kind of stuff, and stop it. Just teach, you know, and give principles according to the word. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just gonna tell you right now that tapping on my forehead never got me anywhere. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I still ended up with a gun in my mouth. Yeah, it did. Yeah, that was the truth. Praise the Lord. I still ended up on drugs. That stuff didn't help me do it. I am not saying that talking things through can't help. Talking things through can help. And if sometimes we need to talk things through, we can talk them through, praise the Lord. But a counseling session, a spiritual counseling session, also isn't me sitting and listening to you talk for 2 hours. Because if that's the case, then you're not getting help, and I'm wasting my time. And I'm going to tell you something, my time's too precious to waste it. Praise the Lord. Yeah, glory to God, it is. Well, praise God, hallelujah. I'm going to end there before I get real nasty. Praise. But you see, God wants us helped. But the help is in the Word. The help is in the truth. It isn't in all those things we thought. If it wasn't all those things you thought, then you wouldn't be here. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be here because I'd be getting my help there. Amen? And again, I'll go back to my brothers and sisters that are counselors or have dealt with any of that stuff. Listen, there is need for you out there because those people out there, they have no hope. And so they need somebody who's Spirit-filled to go in there and then speak according to the oracles of God to lead them to the right things. They need that kind of stuff. They need to hear, you know, because they don't. I can't always get out there to everybody. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. That's the truth. So there's need for those jobs. I'm not saying that there isn't. But I'm saying when we do things just according to the world's way, you know, I always, praise the Lord, this happens a lot. But I knew a lot of counselors that I ended up, not just because of me, but they ended up like not counseling anymore because they ended up going into counseling. Yeah, this kind of stuff happens a lot because it's not based in the truth. If you don't renew your mind to the things of God, you're never going to go anywhere. You're just not going to. Amen? Praise the Lord. God knows you can't, which is why he isn't asking you to. And this is something that I really, really need us to get to understand. God isn't asking us to do a bunch of things that we can't do because he knows we can't. Jesus didn't die because we could get there. Jesus didn't die because you could figure it out. Jesus died because you can't. So don't try to recover the ground that Jesus already covered, right? If you want to overcome, you need to do the things that cause you to overcome. And that's get into the Word and find out what the Word says. Praise the Lord. Church is a great way to do this, isn't it? Because we come and we hear the Word and we hear the Word preached, and a lot of times it will speak exactly to what we're dealing with at the time. Or it gives us direction on what to do. This is how my life changed. I mean, yes, I ended up mentoring with my pastor, but that certainly wasn't a counseling session. Praise the Lord. That was me coming with questions and him answering my questions. Amen? That's what mentoring was. But through that and through sitting through the Word, I learned an awful lot of stuff. Praise the Lord, in a fairly short time. You'll get there too. See, but if we are insistent on being, we've gotten kind of ourselves into a bind as a society because everything has to happen so fast, you know, with everything from, you know, instant gratification right now, we got to have it right now. And so if it's not doing that, a lot of times people don't want it. They rebel against it. But that isn't the way of the Lord. Amen. If he allows trial, it's to get you to get to know something. Amen. It's to get you to get to know his strength and rely on it so the enemy can't defeat you. So if God is allowing you to go through something that is a trial, which God will allow, God never causes a trial. The book of James tells us that the trial is not of God, it's of the devil. But if he allows us to go through a season, what we like to call in our camp a wilderness season, just like Jesus went through a wilderness season, anyone who's used of God will go through seasons of wilderness where they'll be trying and trying and trying and it just doesn't seem like anything's working. What do? You rest. Because that's what God has called you to. He has not called you to trial. He's called you to rest. He has not called you to trial. He's called you to peace. Praise the Lord. Let me say that again. He has not called you to trial. He's called you to peace. If you are in trial because of something that you... Now listen, my wife and I had walked out a lot of things in our life together since we've been together, and that's because some of them aren't things like, for example, I had a business for we had a business for a year and a half. I think it was the total length we had. It was something I dreamed of my entire life. God had to walk me through that to show me that it wasn't, because I wasn't going to learn some other way. So God allowed me to go through that, and there was trial because we gave up income, we took on loans, we did all these things that just looked like because we knew we were supposed to. It was part of the plan. God led us into it. But the reason he led us into it is because I would have never been satisfied doing what I'm doing unless I had experienced that and realized it was God I needed all along. Yeah. And so sometimes God is always trying to take us from point A to point B. But if point A to point B, because of the way our personalities are, takes us like this, then so be it. He'll take us that way. God will walk you through the trial. He will walk you through all the different things because he wants you to get to the other side. But if you won't get there, if you won't go, or if you give up in the middle, then that's not God's fault. Amen? Praise the Lord. His grace is sufficient for us. I love this because he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. When we can't, God can. You know, when some big trial happens in your life and it looks like you just like don't know what you're going to do, this is where trusting in God is everything. Because God, this is where his strength is made perfect. Because it's a testimony. See, this is everybody was looking at the church in Fredonia as this going to be some horrible thing. They're looking at his opportunity for testimony. These people there are looking, they're like, glory to God. They have the news in their church today. Right now, they're having church service. The news, that's free advertising, by the way. And you know what they're seeing? This is the thing. They're not just seeing, okay, so the church is advertising, praise the Lord. That's not all it is. They're seeing a church that's staying hungry. They're seeing a church that is on fire. They're seeing a church that is in joy of the Lord. And people look at that and they say, wait a minute, that's different. That's not the same thing that everybody else is dealing with. That's not the same thing that everybody else in life is, you know, falling apart at the seams. No, when they go into trial, something's different. What's different about them? I'm going to tell you what's different about them. It's because they actually believe the words of their Lord. They believe what the Bible says and they stand on it. And because of that, that's a testimony. And if you want to grow a church, that's a way to do it. Praise the Lord. See, Satan can cause fires. I don't know if he did or not. Satan can cause fires or he doesn't have to cause fires. It doesn't really stinking matter to me whether he does, because I am not moved by what the devil does. I am only moved by what my God does. I am only moved by what God is doing in my life. I don't care what the devil does. See, I said this last night and I'll say it again. We are like sponges. When we are squeezed, whatever is on the inside of us is coming out. And if what's on the inside of you is what is written in these pages, I'm going to tell you something. When the devil starts squeezing you, there's some goodness going to start coming out. And people are going to want to start lapping that up. They're going to say, hey, that's pretty good. I want me some of that. Hallelujah. And then God's kingdom gets expanded. See, this is why God is God. This is why he does the things the way he does. But see, when so many people are sitting there and they're always crying and they're always being like, oh, I'm so defeated, then you fall right into the trap of the stinking enemy and you have become just what he wanted to make you. It was your fault. It wasn't God's fault. God was there all the time. He gave you his word. It's time that we start believing it. It's time we start doing it. It's time we start saying, listen, I'm not going to sin anymore because sin causes death. God doesn't cause death. Sin does. You want, oh, praise the Lord. You got me fired up again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Slamming the Bible. Good thing these things are made out of leather. Praise the Lord. Somebody going to get mad about that somewhere. Kill the cow to make a Bible. Right. No, we ate it too. Well, she didn't, but the rest of us did. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Need to relook at the... Do they sell iPad windshield wipers? It's gross, I know, but hey, it's just the way it is. Praise the Lord. See, God has intended us to be overcomers. He's intended us to be there, but we, just like with everything with God, I can't go over this enough. Everything with God, we have to walk in that. We have to decide. Are you going to have what God wants for you or not? You decide. You can't be mad at God when you stop doing the things that God has told you to do to get what he told you can have. Right? You can't. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. So if you are faithful and you are going through a trial that is not caused by you, it's caused by circumstances that are outside, maybe you've been praying for something. You say, why isn't this changing? I've been faithful. Lord, I've been doing this. Why isn't this changing yet? Well, if you are determined that you are in the will of God, if you know that, then relax. Sit back and relax. Get yourself a stinking hammock. Buy yourself an easy chair. Relax. Take a stinking nap. Hallelujah. Take the weekend off. Take a vacation. Take a little trip. Do something. Hallelujah. Just relax. If you know you're in the will of God, if you know that you're doing right, and everything else it just seems wrong, let His grace be sufficient for you. Why? Because He said it was. Jesus said it was. What is sufficiency? It means everything is fulfilled and covered and everything. Amen. Lost your job. Let His grace be sufficient for you. How am I going to eat? Well, I don't know. The Bible says, you know, the Bible says in Matthew. We were thinking about this this morning. This morning I had the windows open. Aren't you glad for this time of year? Praise the Lord. I had the windows open. 6 o'clock in the morning. I come to, or 6:30 in the morning. I come to, start coming to. And what do I hear out the window? I hear those birds singing. No, not one of them seemed unhappy. They're out there singing, they're chirping, they just sounded like the sun is coming up, the weather's warm, I'm outside. Yeah, I'm interpreting it, praise the Lord. This is what the birds are saying. And they're singing their songs and they're tweeting their tweets, and it made me happy. You know what I'm saying? I woke up and I was like, yes, yes. And then I was reminded what Jesus said in Matthew 6. You know what He said in Matthew 6? He said, look at the birds. He said, look at what they do. They don't even toil. They don't labor. They don't do anything. Just look at the birds. And they run around happy. They fly around happy, and the Lord feeds them. And then He goes on to say that if He takes care of them, how much more will He take care of you? But see, the reason a lot of people don't experience that Him taking care of us is because they're always worrying about it. See, this is what casting care is. It's saying, wait a minute. I'm right before the Lord. I know I am. There's nothing. This is how we judge it. And this is what I mean. There's two different ways we can fall into things. First thing, if we're having a trial, is this my fault? Don't be going through your life and trying to tear every part of thing apart. If it's not obvious to you, then it's probably not your fault. Amen? Because God's going to let us know. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. So He's going to let us know when we're in error. Now listen. If you know that you're in error and you time and time again reject that knowledge, eventually it won't be error to you anymore. It'll be okay. That means you've calloused your heart. You can't hear from God anymore. But you'll go back to that thing that you know that was wrong. Amen? And see, this is exactly how we do it. So we go to God. Am I in error here, Lord? Is there somewhere that I've missed it? Like I said, don't try to rip apart your life. Did I do a little bit here? Did I miss my tithe by a penny? You know what I'm saying? Listen. God isn't punishing us for stupid things. Amen? He is not doing this. Some people are so... See, this is the opposite side. This is what religion does to you. It says if you don't do this, this, and this, exactly like this, this, and this, then God hates you and He's going to take everything away. That's the other thing people believe. It's stupid. It's not the Bible. No, Jesus died to prove us just the opposite. And then the other extreme is I can do whatever I want. God still loves me anyway. Well, yeah, He still loves you, but you still go to hell with Him loving you. Yeah, it's the truth. So what we see, we look at our lives. Is there something I'm doing? And if there's nothing that you're aware that you're doing, I always say this. Well, Lord, if there is something I'm doing, then reveal it to me. Show me. And if there isn't, then you can just say there's an attack and you just stand in faith. You say, wait a minute, this is just an attack. Lord, I know that you want me on the other side. I know that you want me healed. I know that you want me healthy. I want you to know that you want good in my life. So take me there. Your grace is sufficient for me. The Bible says that there's more power when we speak His word out of our mouth. Actually, Pastor Webb that's coming, I remember we were on this bear hunt together, and we got there first, and it was the middle of the night, and they come banging in the middle of the night into this cabin. And Pastor Webb, you know, he's coming in carrying his stuff, and he we all wake up because he's there. You know, he's kind of a big guy. Not big guy, but like a big deal, you know what I mean? It's awesome that he's coming here to Mayville, New York. What's that? Yeah, he's been in the ministry 30 years. He had a church of over 2,000 people at one time. He travels all over the world, and he's going to be here. Praise the Lord. And he's bringing something. You know, earlier last year, it was on my heart to have him in, and we got a call just recently. He said, hey, does anyone want Pastor Webb in? I'm like, me? Hallelujah. We'll have him in. But at any rate, he come in, and he said he had this statement. I instantly wrote it down. It was awesome. Come out of sleep and hear something like this. He said, just remember, this is how he, in the middle of the night, comes into a hunting cabin, and this is what he says. Just remember, God's word in your mouth is just as powerful as God's word in his mouth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll wake up to that every day. Praise the Lord. See, that's exactly where we have to be. We have to get to the place where we understand, you know what? God's grace is sufficient for me. We're going through this trial. God's grace is sufficient. It's got us. Remind your husband, remind your wife, hey, guess what? God's sufficient. God's grace is sufficient here. Now listen, maybe your spouse isn't serving God, maybe you are. Remind them. Say, hey, you know what? God, my God See, this will tempt some spouses that aren't in. My God, He takes care of all this. But see, if that spouse sees that train wreck in your life, or you always going reverting to the same thing, then he's going to think nothing's different for you. Why do you think, we have testimonies have a very important part of a role in the church. Testimony is to lead people, is to create desire for more testimonies. When we have Testimony Sunday, the purpose of it was, the purpose of God's purpose in it was to desire, get people to desire more testimonies. We gave some of your testimonies, not didn't tell people your names or whatever, but we gave some of your testimonies last night in Corey. Because why? Because it gives people hope. They come in for the first time and they say, wait a minute, if it worked for them, maybe it can work for me. Praise the Lord. And that gives them hope. And then when they learn the truth, it keeps them around long enough to learn the truth. Once they start learning the truth, then it does work for them. Praise the Lord. Yeah. But see, what happens is the devil always attacks testimonies. And why does he attack testimonies? Because he doesn't want the testimony to last. Or to seem like it'll last. Because and if Christians are foolish enough to fall back into the same garbage, then they lose their testimony. It wasn't lost. What I'm saying is in the sense that God didn't do something. I'm saying it was lost in the sense that they threw it out the window like trash. Yeah, absolutely. They took the blood of Jesus and went, threw it in the toilet, flush it, because that's about what it is worth to me. Oh, praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will always make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So no temptation has come to anyone such as common to man. You know, it feels like the worst thing in the world, but somebody else has dealt with it. Somebody else, and I'm just going to tell you right now, somebody else in your church has dealt with it. Maybe it was your past. I've dealt with a lot of things. You know, people don't believe me, but I dealt with depression that was so dark and so deep, I never thought I'd get out. Sometimes the devil wants to bring that back around, but I don't let him. I've dealt with anxieties that were so great that I couldn't even walk outside. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's the truth. I couldn't even get in public, praise the Lord. I would have mental breakdowns when I'd go outside, fall on the ground and start twitching, stuff like that. I ain't joking. I'm telling you how it was. I would come into the house and just start bawling and weeping because I'd been outside. You understand? God set me free. Hallelujah. It's real. I kept the testimony because I wasn't going to give the testimony up. I'm not giving the testimony back to some scumbag devil. I ain't doing it. Absolutely. I walked through the throngs of depression. I understand what it's like. I've been in the place of being addicted to substances and using substances to help my life. I've been at that place. But I got beyond it. I gave it up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I'm not perfected yet, but I'm heading that way. Because someday when I stand over there in glory, I will be perfected. Hallelujah. I might not get there to this side, but I'm going to get darn close. Hallelujah. I'm just gonna keep after it. Why? Because my God is good. Because God is faithful. He will not allow me to be tempted beyond what I am able. But with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to... See, everything that we go through, there's a way out. You can't ever think, if you believe this scripture, you can't ever think that there's no way out or it's never going to work because God said that there's a way out. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're getting real close to closing here. I got to fit this in just a few minutes. Let's see. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to decide what scripture I want to go to here. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Matthew 14. I'm serious. We're getting close. I know we have some first-timers in here like, how long is this guy going to talk for? Praise the Lord. We only go about an hour-ish. Praise the Lord. Well, I was refreshed though last night. I preached hour-ish last night. And I had people saying to me, you know what? You could have kept going because it was just, it tells you the difference of your heart. If you're like, if you can't wait till the service then, well, praise the Lord, you don't know what you're getting. Praise the Lord. New people, if you just stick around, you'll get there too. Just don't feel bad. Praise the Lord. The picnic's coming soon, you know. Isn't that funny? Because you can sit in church and 15 minutes can seem like 10 hours. Praise the Lord. But if you know what you're getting, 14:22, praise the Lord. Did I say that? Yeah. Yep, here it is. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Listen, look at how the Lord lived. When he got away from people, he sent the people away, and then he took some time to go pray. Well, that's pretty good. Sent the disciples on, praise the Lord. They went out in a boat. Now when the evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. That's a nice poetic way of saying that there was a pretty good storm on the lake, on the water. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now, let me give you a hint here. Unless you know God real well, don't just go trying to walk on water. Amen? Because you got to have some knowledge when you do that, you know. See, that's why people fail, because they see stuff in here and they say, well, this is exactly the way it does, so I'm going to go do it exactly that way. Like, don't go spit on some blind guy's eyes. You know what I'm saying? Don't be going giving somebody a Holy Ghost wet willy that can't hear. You know what I mean? You got to be directed by the Lord to do stuff like that. And if he's going to direct you to do that, he's going to have raised you up in a way that you know that you can do that. You know what I mean? Like, you will have proof in other ways. Amen. I'm sure the first person Jesus walked up to, he didn't lick his finger and stick it in their ear. You know what I'm saying? There was a process of time where he learned these things. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is why Christians get goofy. Yeah, the Bible says we can raise the dead. But it didn't say you're going to raise everybody that's dead. Amen. So don't just start walking into funeral homes, grabbing people out of caskets, and pulling them up and saying, rise in the name of Jesus. Because it probably won't work. Yeah. But there's people that have done that. And it has worked. Praise God. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. There's all kinds of issues here. First, they're troubled. Second, they're crying out in fear. And then the other thing is they're believing in ghosts. Yeah, listen. I don't know how I want to get into this. Just say stuff like this. There are demonic presences and stuff like that will manifest themselves as good things on this earth. But if you're seeing spirits and stuff like that, it's not grandma that's coming back to see you. It's not Aunt Susie who decided that she wants to come back and give you some profound revelation. That's not the way it is. So don't go seeking people that talk to that, because they're not talking to them. They're talking to a thing called familiar spirits, and it's evil. It's of the devil. It's not of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. In other words, I put this in parentheses in my Bible. Trust God. That's all it is. Trust God. Remember that scripture? I think we read it last week. Trust God and do good. Yeah. Amen. And, well, three people remembered it. I'm glad we're having an effect here. Praise the Lord. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to walk to you on the water. And so Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Does anyone else see that? Yeah. Peter walked on the water, right? Right. Could Peter naturally walk on water? Nope. Peter didn't have extra big shoes. Hallelujah. His sandals weren't really water skis. Peter was walking on water. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. See, the thing was, is the wind hadn't stopped blowing, right? Didn't we see that the wind was contrary, the seas were contrary, that means there was a storm happening? The wind didn't stop, but see, he took his focus off of the wind for a minute because he saw Jesus out on the water. And he said, Lord, if it's you, let me walk to you. So now he's not even thinking about the boat rocking around. You know, when you're on a boat, we have this image of just like, you know, like Peter in a boat looking at Jesus out there walking on waves. When you're in a boat that's in the waves, the boat is also moving. And if it's contrary to the point where people are nervous, it's probably not just a little ripple either, is it? It's probably some pretty good sized waves. You go out in Lake Erie and you see some of the waves that get out there, they have small boat roarings. It's probably something similar to that. And they're out there floating around. Jesus is on the waves, bobbing up and down, and Peter's bobbing up and down. But Peter isn't looking at all that stuff. He's focused on Jesus, at least for a minute. But then when he starts walking on the water, he gets out there and the devil reminds him of where he's at. The devil reminds him of the trial, the waves that are around him. And so what does Peter do? He takes his eyes off the Lord and starts looking at the trouble, which is the exact same thing all of us do Not anymore, though, right? Praise the Lord. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus, see, this is, again, it just shows us the grace of God, because Jesus could have said, listen, you've been with me long enough, you don't have faith, sink, Peter. But he didn't say that, did he? No. Praise the Lord. He said, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Praise the Lord. What is it that frustrates us in trial? Isn't it the fear of the unknown? Isn't that why you get frustrated in trial? Because you don't know what's going to happen? If our confidence is in Him, then fear has no place. Fear has no place in the believer. Fear has no place in you. No place. Not that much place. Not that much fear. It has no place in the believer. If you have confidence in God, then you know that the other side is coming. You know that the winds are going to cease. You know the trial is going to end. And you know that you're going to look better on the other side. Praise the Lord. The Fredonia people are looking for the church to grow. Praise the Lord. They just got a whole ton of advertisement. Guess what? The building wasn't finished, and now it's going to be. I'm just saying. I mean, there's ways of looking at it. Praise the Lord. It's going to be nicer than it ever was. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you know that stupid clock tower? I'm not saying this is why it happened, but that stupid clock tower, that there was regulations on it because of historical this and that. Well, guess what? When it burns up, all the regulations just burn up with it. They're not restricted anymore. Now they can build something nice up there, and they can remodel it the way it needs to be and make it safe. All that. You see what I'm saying? There's ways of looking at it, and the whole time, God will bless them for staying in faith. And the same thing with you. The same thing with all of us. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with John 16:33 in the Amplified. It says, I have told you these things so that in me, this is Jesus, you may have perfect peace and confidence. Perfect peace and confidence. Perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will, do you remember this is the same verse we started with, but this is in the Amplified. In the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, be certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. Look at this last part. I love the way it says this. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. There's your answer. My Lord has deprived this world of its power to harm me. What is going to happen in this world? Anything that's going to happen to you is going to happen here until you get to heaven, and that's going to happen there. But it still won't be this world. Here it's the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. You made it through another one. Glory to God. And I hope you made it through with some faith. On the other side, if you're going through a trial, you can get there because Jesus already did it. He deprived the world of its power to harm you. You need to just walk in it. So let's be brothers and sisters in faith. Let's encourage one another as we go. Let's stir up each other as we go. When we see a brother or sister stumbling or they're going through an issue, just build them up. Just remind them of these scriptures, amen? And then they'll remind you of the same thing when you're going through something, because you will too. The trials are coming, but the trial doesn't matter. It's only how we respond, amen? Praise the Lord. Let the devil squeeze us, because what's coming out is tasty and good. Amen. Praise the Lord.